how much I struggled balancing my ERG leadership role with my day-to-day role. Yeah. I remember struggling and the feeling of like putting in all this effort to create a great event and then not having a lot of people show up or kind of being disappointed. Or I just remember how time consuming I felt like it was to lead. And so I really take time to like one of my biggest things and like my philosophy for a lot of the employee resource group work that I do is how can we make it more efficient for ERG leaders to balance their day-to-day role and their ERG leader role.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intent to Impact, the ERG podcast. The show is designed to help DEI and ERG leaders build and scale impactful employee resource groups. I'm your host, Demay Biegbuna, co-founder of CHESI, and we're joined today by Stephanie Hernandez, Global Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and Belonging Program Manager at HiveSpot. Stephanie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, it's really good to be here.
Nice to have you. So first question for you, and part of the reason why I wanted to have you on is because you have gone from like ERG leader to DEI practitioner. So I want you to first share a bit about your experience transitioning from an ERG leader at Zillow to the Equity and Belonging Program Manager at the organization, and then ultimately becoming the Global DEI&B Program Manager at HiveSpot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when they say that your career is a jungle gym, this was probably one of the first jungle gym things that happened in my career. I actually joined Zillow in a customer service role. When I joined Zillow, I was actually coming from higher education. So higher education institutions really don't even have. So when I was applying at Zillow and interviewing with them, they were getting ready to launch ERGs or kind of in the beginning phases of them. And that's really one of the reasons that I decided to move over. It was an opportunity, you know, the way that they described an ERG of like finding people with similar either interest or identities that you could really connect with and network with and build relationships and the community with in the company all over the country was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, I would love that. So it was actually 3 months into my tenure at Zillow that they started to have ERG elections for the very first council of the ERGs. I applied to the leader or like the president role, thinking nothing too much of it. Like I applied for a lot of the other roles as well. I just really wanted to make an impact and be part of the community and like kind of work with those creating events and programming. And no one ran against me. So I was like elected as like the first president with no one running against me. Yep. So that's how I came into the role. I was the president of the ERG for just over 2 years. And then after my 2 years, I actually happened to join their equity and belonging team as a program manager.
Nice. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about that transition from like ERG leader to being on the equity and belonging team? How did they approach you? What did that look like?
Yeah, well, I already worked really closely with the equity and belonging team just because I was an ERG leader. Obviously, the manager of the ERG program sat in a lot of my council meetings. We worked really closely together on like budget and programming, making sure that we were bringing awareness to the events that we had, you know, comps we were putting out for, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month, et cetera. And so they knew me. I think one of the things that was really beneficial and that really helped me personally was I was based in Nebraska at the time and okay. was one of very, very few, I want to say like a couple of people of color. And so being in Nebraska in an office where I didn't see not only people that didn't look like me, but people that didn't look like my friends or like my community, I really took it upon myself to join as an ally to the other ERGs that maybe I don't identify with, but join as an ally and felt that it was really important to bring some of the programming that they were doing in other offices to the Nebraska office, you know, to bring awareness on what Black History Month went. I thought it was a disservice if we didn't put that programming in the office just because we didn't have someone that identified as Black. I really took it upon myself as an ally to how can I, you know, work with the Asian Pacific Islander ERG to bring Lunar New Year how they want me to bring it to Nebraska, how the information they want me to share with the employees here. And so I was, you know, a part of every single ERG as an ally. I really took it upon myself to learn about the communities too. I think that was one of my like first opportunities where I really got to learn about barriers of like not only my community, but like other communities. Like the bamboo ceiling was something that I really learned during this period from being an ally to the API ERG. And so, yeah, so I think when it came time to open a new office in Phoenix, Arizona, which is where I'm based, I applied and I could really speak to all of the ERGs, kind of their missions, the programming they did. And then on top of that, I was also involved in like the culture committee is what we called it, which was in charge of putting together events for like morale engagement for the entire office. And so I was involved in that as well. So when it was time to open up an office, a new office where they were going to start ERGs and start the culture committee, I think I already could speak to all of the work that the equity and belonging team was doing, historically had done, and was planning on doing, just because I was so in tune to that work and doing a lot of that.
Yeah, it's almost like a natural transition, knowing that you have experience being a part of the different ERGs and learning about the different communities. It's like, it makes perfect sense for you to transition into that role. So then from Zillow, you landed at Highspot in your current position as Global DEI and B Program Manager. Can you give us a quick overview of the ERGs at HubSpot? Let's start over. So from Zillow, you transitioned to Highspot in your current role as Global DEI and B Program Manager. So can you give us a quick overview of the ERGs at Highspot and share any insights into your role in terms of like supporting those groups?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, very unique situation. And the reason I wanted to come over to Highspot is when I joined the equity and belonging team at Zillow, the ERGs were already established. And even when I moved into the program manager role, I could, you know, put processes in place to assist ERGs. Coming from experience of an ERG leader, like this is the tools and resources I needed. And so when I saw and when I interviewed at Highspot, Highspot was getting ready to launch their 6 ERGs. So we have 6 ERGs that were established in June of 2022. And so they're fairly new, but are doing such amazing work. And I really saw it as an opportunity to look back and reflect on all the work I had done with ERGs at Zillow and apply all of the learned lessons, all of the things that I learned and picked up in best practices to a program that was just getting started and really learn from those mistakes, learn from those lessons, you know, start building a stronger foundation at the start so the program would be stronger. And so I support all of our employee communities. That includes our employee resource groups, which are more focused for underrepresented communities. We have employee circles, which are more focused on identities, so our parents and our caregivers. And then we actually have an inclusion and belonging council based in EMEA that I also oversee.
Nice. So you've kind of referenced that your experience as an ERG leader at Zillow has really shaped the way that you're guiding and supporting the ERGs at Highspot. Can you share some examples of how that experience has shaped your approach currently?
Yes. Well, I think it shapes it. It honestly gives me the opportunity to really relate to my ERG leaders. Yeah. I obviously know how much I struggled balancing my ERG leadership role with my day-to-day role. Yeah. I remember struggling and the feeling of like putting in all this effort to create a great event and then not having a lot of people show up or kind of being disappointed. Or I just remember how time-consuming I felt like it was to lead. And so I really take time to like one of my biggest things and like my philosophy for a lot of the employee resource group work that I do is how can we make it more efficient for ERG leaders to balance their day-to-day role and their ERG leader role. And so a lot of that is some of the things that I put into place, whether it's programming, whether it's processes, procedures, if it's, you know, building communication, they need to kind of take a month off because their day-to-day role is really busy, being able to jump in and assist where I'm needed. And so kind of being flexible and understanding that they are doing this because they care about this, not because it's their full-time role.
Yeah, I think that's really a really good call out. And I think in my conversations on a day-to-day with people who are leading these groups, that's the pain point that they come with is that like, these ERGs are pushing such great work. They're really pushing our organizational goals forward, but these people aren't doing this as their full-time job. They're doing this on top of their 9 to 5. So they don't have the bandwidth to be really in the weeds, spending, you know, 20% of their time on ERG work that needs to be lowered. So I appreciate that you come with that perspective already. So like when you were building these ERGs, you were like, that was just something that you had top of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think the other thing is oftentimes, you know, I see and I've heard, you know, as like as these DI practitioners or, you know, program managers of ERGs, like, okay, well, why are they not managing their time right? Like maybe they just need time management training. And it's like, no, it's like a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that. It's not they're managing the time that they can at the best. But, you know, I think it's really important for program managers of ERGs or, you know, whoever is overseeing ERGs to be realistic when we're talking about time commitment, you know. You could say that, well, they're only taking an hour a month to attend their council meeting once a month. But if you're an ERG leader, a lot of the times you're taking time to create an agenda. You're taking time to put the cadence on the calendar. A lot of times these roles, because underrepresented communities or, you know, ERG members don't feel like they can go to their direct manager or HR or anyone at the company, they tend to come to these leaders, right? And so you have to also take into account like the coffee chats that they get invited to, the Slacks that they get pinged on, you know, they're getting pulled from recruiting or, you know, learning and development or new hire onboarding, you know, all that stuff. And so being realistic with like the time that you're asking them, and then also how can we streamline this? How can we make this easier for them?
Yeah, I think this is a perfect segue into our next question. So for DEI practitioners who don't necessarily have ERG leadership experience or background like you do, what are the top things that they need to consider to better support their leadership teams or ERG leaders?
Yeah, I mean, on top of, again, being realistic with like the time commitment, I think it's getting to know their ERG leaders. I think a lot of times for me, what's really helpful is not only getting to know my ERG leaders, but getting to know their goals personally. What are their career goals? I always, you know, even when I was an ERG leader as a president, I really took it upon myself to know what my council wanted to do, like what their next step was and how I could do to get that, and staying on top of like, oh my gosh, did you apply for that position? Or what was the feedback? Or do you need help? Like, happy to do interview stuff with you. So I really think it's important to know kind of like what motivates them, where they want to go, and kind of making that happen, and just being able to have that conversation with them, right? Like if you know what they're doing day to day, you tend to have a better accurate picture of like what their time looks like when they get a little bit busier, right? If you've an ERG leader that's in sales, well, maybe they shouldn't have ERG programming towards the end of the month, right? Because that's kind of when they're trying to get everything finished and everything through, you know, at the end of the month. Or if you have someone in services, someone that has to be on the phones all the time, right? Like how can you keep them engaged in a way that maybe isn't a meeting, right? Can you send information in a newsletter format, or can you send a Slack with all the information that you need, something that they could digest and get their hands on quickly? And so I think it's really important to also know like what roles, what organizations, what goals that the ERG leaders have to be able to assist them.
Yeah, I really like the point about getting to know your ERG leaders. It actually reminds me of a past episode with Allison Crawford, who heads up the ERGs at LinkedIn. Something that she mentioned was that it's so important to build trust amongst your ERG leaders. And she did that through conducting like listening tours. So she would go around and kind of ask her ERG leaders around like the pain points that they're experiencing or how they can better support them. I'm curious if that's something that you've done in the past in terms of like, how are you conducting these conversations with those folks?
Yeah, I would love to have done a listening tour. I think once COVID hit and we went fully remote, it became a little bit harder to do that. I definitely wholeheartedly agree that you need to build trust with your ERG leaders. I honestly tend to, even if it's not just like my leader, like my co-leaders or my presidents, like I really touch with all of my ERG leaders. Obviously, I know because I obviously keep track of who they are, but just reaching out to them, making sure that they know me. But I tend to send a lot of coffee chats, you know, making sure that they connect with me and that I know, you know. I think when I first started, that's what I was doing, is I set up coffee chats with all the current ERG leaders and just got that to know them. I tend to host a lot of meetings, you know, but again, being considerate to their day-to-day roles. So like I tend to send information out in videos or in newsletters. I get a lot of feedback from them. Like, what did you like from this? What did you not like from this? What can I do better? So kind of just building that trust and making sure that they know that you're on their side. Cause oftentimes, you know, I often do feel like I'm kind of shielding my ERG leaders from just any type of like criticism for them, because they do have so much on their plate and they're doing so much good that I just, you know, I want to make sure I protect them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the common challenges you've observed ERG leaders face, and how do you support them in overcoming these obstacles? You've been in this role or in this world for a while now, so I'm sure that you've seen a few commonalities in terms of like their pain points.
Yeah. I honestly think that one of the biggest one is educating like not only managers, but like the entire company as to what ERG leaders are actually doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that being an ERG leader that, again, moved into a DI role, in internal mobility role, I moved internally. There was a lot of skills that I learned. I was in customer support. I never led anyone. I didn't lead a team. I was, you know, I had just started. I was entry level. And I learned so much, right? Like I went from, again, I was like 6 months into my job. I went from like just doing my job to all of a sudden I had six people that were all over the country that I was setting up council meetings with monthly, that I was meeting with, that I was connecting with, that I was supporting. I had a budget that I was taking care of. I had like meetings with my executive sponsor, right? Like I was doing stakeholder management, and I didn't know it at the time just because it was like, oh, this is what my ERG, this is what I do. But I think once I started to really educate my manager around the work that I'm doing, educate the company on the work that ERG leaders are doing, that really helped the company just know all the work I was doing. And it makes it easier to, when you educate internal mobility teams to what ERG leaders are doing, because when those ERG leaders are applying for internal roles, your internal mobility team says, oh, an ERG leader, they typically do a lot of project management, and maybe they're just in sales, but in their ERG leader role, we know they're managing budget. We know that they're managing, you know, ERGs of like 200, 300 people. We know they're doing project management. Like there's a lot of skills that are developed as an ERG leader that people can use in their career. And so I think one of the biggest ERG like issues that ERG leaders face is like the education piece for their managers and the company to know exactly all the things that they do and touch and skills that are learned.
Yeah. So I'm curious from like a tactical perspective, how are you educating middle managers or even leadership or your internal mobility teams? How are you having those conversations to really pinpoint exactly what their ERG leaders are doing?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important. So I think during election time, I think it's really important when you have, regardless of how you select your ERG leaders, you know, I know that that's done very differently. Once you have your leaders for the year or 2 years, depending on kind of how you have it structured, I think it's really important to set up meetings with those folks' managers. Anytime that I'm doing, that I send an email, hey, congratulations, you're selected as being an ERG leader for this. We're really excited. Anytime I'm sending a thank you for all your work. Like, here's the data of like how many events you've had this year, what you contributed, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I make sure that I CC the manager so they know all the work that they're doing, right? I think it's really important too. I always talk about, you know, I talk with my ERG leaders around, if you're having a one-on-one with your manager, make sure you're including the stuff you're doing for your ERG. Yes, the work that you're doing, but like also include like, oh, and for my ERG, this is what I'm focused on, or this is what I've been doing. And so I think that has always been really helpful. One of the most helpful things is at Zillow, we actually had folks that were on the recruiting team that were ERG leaders. Mm-hmm. And so we actually partnered with an ERG leader who was on the recruiting team, who wrote job descriptions, wrote responsibilities, knew how to do that, you know, and we had her write like a job description and responsibilities for ERG leaders so that at the end of their tenure, they could include in their resume. Because again, the skills that you learn, the connections you make shouldn't go unnoticed, right? You should put that on your resume. And to this day, like, I have that on my resume as well, just because A, I'm really proud of that. And B, because I did so much learning and professional development during my time as an ERG leader.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. I think a lot of ERG leaders may not know how to talk about the skills that they're learning in this position and how they are transferable to things that they're doing outside of this. So I love that that's something that you actively encourage them to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as someone who has transitioned from leading an ERG to overseeing them at like a programmatic level, what advice do you have for ERG leaders looking to advance their careers in the field of DEI specifically?
Yeah, I would say definitely dive into DI, dive in. I never say like, I'm a DI and B expert. And if anyone is asking you, like, we need you to be a DI and B expert, like, know that that's very hard. One, I always say I'm not a DI and B expert. Like, I'm constantly learning. The field is constantly changing. I'm constantly learning. I'm a DI and B advocate. But I think if folks want to join DI and B, like the field of DI and B is like taking the opportunity to learn. Like, I remember doing courses, whether it was like on LinkedIn Learning, on like recruiting of DI and B. I've never once held a recruiting job, but recruiting, diversity recruiting specifically, has always piqued my interest. It's always been something I've been like obviously really passionate about, you know, tying it that into my DI and B role. But like, I did a LinkedIn Learning on diversity recruiting. I wasn't really shy to talk about all the skills that I was learning, right? Like, I was very vocal about, I'm managing a group of X amount of members. I'm managing a close-knit group of 3-6 people that are based in Irvine, San Francisco, Denver, Seattle, all collectively under a mission. I'm creating yearly goals for my ERG. Like, that is a lot of things that leaders do, right? Like, that a manager typically does, even senior managers. I was growing membership. I was at one point, you know, doing the onboarding and talking about my specific ERG. I was speaking at all hands about my ERG. And so I was doing a lot of public speaking. And definitely, I'll be honest, I leaned a lot on my executive sponsor. Like, I made sure that I built a connection with him. And I would be lying if I didn't say I really leaned on him when I applied internally. I sat him down and I was like, Luis, shout out to Luis Foggi, love him. He was my exec sponsor at the time. And I said, I really want to move into DEI. It's always been something that I've wanted to do. I'm really passionate about it. They're opening up a position in Phoenix. I'm applying for it. I would love your support. He said, absolutely. I've worked with you for 2 years. Absolutely. I can be a testament of the work that you do. Literally that day, it was after 5, that day he emailed the hiring manager and was like, hi, I understand you're hiring for this role. I just want to say, like, Stephanie has my full support. I've seen her do X, Y, and Z. These are all the things we've done in the year, how much we've grown, all that stuff. Like, yeah. That's different coming from me than coming from, you know, a vice president of engineering, right? Like, that's different. And so really leaning on my exec sponsor to not only know the work that I was doing internally within my ERG, and not just me, right? My other ERG leaders as well, but then also letting him know, like, yeah, no, that's where I want to go. You know, it's help me get there. Yeah. Like, that's where I want to go.
I love that story because I feel like executive sponsors are always asking, like, how can I support? That's such a tangible way for them to support, is like, helping in this internal mobility space, like helping your leaders that you're working with or even your members advance in their careers and putting them in the best position. So shout out to Louise again. So many organizations are really aiming to leverage ERG leadership positions as a means for career development. How do you incorporate professional development opportunities for ERG leaders within the framework of your DEI strategy at either Zillow or Highspot?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this one is a little bit harder because when you talk about ERG leaders, we have a variety of ERG leaders that are at different places in their careers. And I think I see that more so this time at Highspot than I did at Zillow, or maybe I don't remember because I was at Zillow a few years ago, but I definitely notice it now from an ERG perspective. I have ERG leaders that are, you know, in entry-level roles. They just, you know, graduated high school. I have folks that are in sales. Mm-hmm. I also have senior managers. I have a director on – I have a senior director that is an ERG leader. I have a director as an ERG leader. And so the career development piece gets a little bit harder to create because there's so much vast difference in, like, the leveling that they are or the career journey that they're on. I think one of the biggest things, though, that I definitely like to hone in, and I think because anyone can benefit from it, is definitely like leading a team. I try and encourage and push, you know, ERG leaders to share the responsibility when it comes to running a meeting, right? Like, yeah. That is something that you don't necessarily get taught. And so, like, you can at least with the skill set of at least you know how to run a meeting. Or I kind of always tell my ERG leaders, like, we want every single person on the council or the committee to at least, like, from start to finish own an event once, you know, one time during the year. Mm-hmm. Even just doing that once a year, right? You don't, like, people aren't naturally, like, I don't think the event planning comes natural to some, but not to everyone, right? Yeah. And so even just the sitting down, creating an idea of an event or a programming for ERG leaders or members and putting that together, connecting the right pieces, talking about external vendors, researching different people to bring to the company or, you know, speakers, et cetera. And so even just doing that, right, like the project management that happens when you're creating a programming from start to finish is crucial. The stakeholder management piece as well. When it comes to formalized, like, actual career development, we did that a little bit more at Zillow. Okay. And it was because that I feel like at the time we were thinking ERG leaders are program managers and they should have the skill sets. So we were dedicating, like, once a quarter, we were either bringing in a speaker to talk about best practices for a project management role or, like, how do you create a RACI? How do you create a timeline of event? Like, how do you manage stakeholders? And so it's more project management focused because we knew all of the ERG leaders were going to do that. Not so much right now at Highspot because there's just such a vast difference in career leveling and experience.
Yeah, that's a really good call out. I honestly, even though I do this work every day, I never even consider that, like, there are senior managers who are ERG leaders, so they may not need the development training as, like, an early career professional. So it is a balance that you almost have to do in terms of, like, what support are you providing to some versus others.
Yeah, absolutely.
So last question for you, Stephanie. What advice do you have for ERG leaders who are seeking to leverage their experiences for career advancement outside of the DEI field? I know you've mentioned the importance of knowing how to, like, talk about the skills that you're acquiring while in this position, but anything else that you would share?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to say, like, take it all in. You're doing so much for an ERG. You know, I think oftentimes, it's so funny because I was just having a conversation with someone recently. And, you know, ever since we are 5 or 6, we're told, like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
Or what do you want to do, right? And my philosophy has just always been that, like, give yourself the grace to change your mind. Mm. Right? Or, like, give yourself the grace to say, I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll do something else. As an ERG leader, you're exposed to not only people from all over the company, right, that you can build a connection with, but really learn about their day to day. Like, you don't know what you don't know. I remember I sat down with, like, my internal mobility, like, program manager. I didn't know they had internal mobility program managers. I didn't know that that was a thing. I love that. Like, I love the idea. And I remember when I met her, I was like, oh, like, so what do you do? And she was like, oh, like, I really work on building an easy process for employees to apply internally and, you know, train recruiters on how to handle folks that are applying internally, like our current employees. And I was like, wow, like, that sounds really interesting, you know? And so if you're considering, if you're looking, if you're just like, I don't know what I want to do both inside or outside of DI, lean into the ERG and into the ERG, the connections, the building the belonging, meet the people, learn what they do. If you find a position that you're passionate about, like, start building, like, reoccurring coffee chats with that person, right? Like, learn a little bit more, like, how did you get there? How can I get there? You start building those kind of informal or, like, organic mentor opportunities, you know, where you're able to learn and get insight from someone that's already there. And yeah, you know, I've seen ERG leaders who maybe start, you know, entry level and decide, oh, I really like recruiting. I think I would be good. I want to try recruiting. And through the ERG, they work with either with a recruiting team going to a conference, or they work with the recruiting team on, you know, talking with applicants. And the recruiting team goes, oh, this person's actually really great. Like, do they want to be in recruiting? And then, you know, we make the connection, we build the skills, we obviously invest in internal mobility and the employees within. And honestly, for me personally, if we have folks that are part of ERG programs or DEIMB programs, those are the people we want to move up at the company, right? Like, they already have that DEI lens. They already have the DEI knowledge. They already know about these topics. And I don't want to say, again, an expert, but they know, right? They're at least aware. And that is easier for me to work with than to, say, hire someone that doesn't have that lens, that's in a senior management position, and then we have to go back and like train them on like, hey, well, let's go back to DEI and why it's important, right? And so I'm all about making sure that folks make connections within their ERG with positions that they want to, that they want to learn from, whether it's in or outside of DEI, and just know that you're constantly developing your skills. I feel like I honed in on quite a few on there that you're planning, like event planning, programming, managing a budget. If you're the communications lead for your ERG, but you do like sales or you do, maybe you're a recruiter, but you've been the communications lead for your ERG and you're like, I really like building out communications internally, right? Like, they're always looking for people in communications or like marketing teams to write emails for employees internally, or, you know, social post externally, or et cetera. And so you have so many resources and opportunities at your disposal as an ERG leader, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a powerful way to end in terms of just like leveraging the network that you're cultivating within the ERG. So I appreciate that advice. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us on Intent to Impact. Can you tell our audience where they can find you?
Yes. Well, I said Phoenix. If you want to meet in person, I'm a social critter. We'll go grab coffee or tea or anything. I'm on LinkedIn, Stephanie Hernandez. I know there's quite a few. It's actually the URL Hernandez Stephanie 1. Feel free to add me on there. And I'd love to connect with anyone. I'm always open to providing resources or feedback. I often have a lot of one-on-ones on my calendar with folks that are either starting ERGs, starting DIMB programs, and I am always open to connecting and providing any insight I have.
Take her up on that, y'all. Stephanie, thank you so much.